welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark LeValier. Coming up in this hour, sitcoms. Later on, we'll hear Jean Tierney at the height of her movie fame on Duffy's Tavern as special guest. Right now, it's the Burns and Allen Show from November 8, 1945, featuring guests, gossip columnist of the air, Luella Parsons, and comedian George Jessel.
George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Bill Goodwin, and the music of Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Last week, in order to get the part of a husband in a picture, I invited a movie producer to the Burns home and pretended to be Gracie's husband. Together, we convinced the producer that I was a dull, uninteresting married man. Sounds unbelievable, doesn't it? Well, if you think that's unbelievable, we also convinced him that George was an irresistible lady killer. So he forgot me and hired George to play a wolf. This news has just been released, and so for further details, we take you to the NBC newsroom.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dick Joy reporting your last-minute news. Flash, movie producer Lauren Sherwood dropped a bombshell on Hollywood tonight when he announced that the most coveted screen role of the year, that of the wolf in the new Betty Grable picture, would go to a sensational new screen lover, George Burns. Friends of Sherwood had expected him to cast Bill Goodwin in the role of the wolf who chases Miss Grable, a part which Goodwin has rehearsed for years. All Hollywood is talking, says Luella Parsons.
In my humble opinion, a picture starring George Burns should have everything. It'll need it.
Says movie producer Georgie Jessel.
Many new ideas have come out of the war. Casting George Burns as a wolf is a Revolutionary War idea. By that I mean it would have been a great idea during the Revolutionary War.
When told that her new leading man would be George Burns, Betty Grable had this to say.
Darling, did you hear the news on the radio? Sherwood has just announced that he's co-starring you with Betty Grable.
Really? He must be out of his mind. I'm no movie star.
But you can be, dear. You're loaded with sex appeal.
Oh, don't be silly. Let him get some guy like Gregory Peck.
Oh, pooh. How can you compare a Peck to a man who has it by the bushel?
Oh, forget it. I'm not for pictures.
George, have you ever studied yourself in the mirror and seen how really handsome you are? That straight nose, that square jaw, those perfectly formed chins.
Yes, I'm gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean it. You've got everything any leading man on the screen has. I'll prove it to you. Just name one.
All right. Charles Boyer.
Charles Boyer. What's he got?
What's he got? How about those eyes?
You've got just as many.
It's not how many. It's what he can do with them.
Well, there he's not even in the same class with you. One look from your deep smoldering pools of passion would make a woman forget her husband. Look at me.
I'm looking.
Come closer, Fred.
Fred?
Yeah, oh. Now, you see, you made me forget my husband.
Gracie, look, granted I might have a certain amount of charm, but could I handle the acting part of a picture role?
I knew you were going to say that, and I'm ready for you.
What do you mean?
Well, I have a little scene here that I wrote just for you. You run the entire gamut of emotions in it.
Oh, Gracie, I'm not...
Oh, what's the matter? You afraid to find out how good you are?
Well, all right. Give me my part.
Here. Now, you play a soldier who has just come back from the war. You have a beard and a bandage around your head, and your eyes are all bloodshot. They'd look gorgeous in Technicolor.
Yes, I can see it all now.
All right, I speak first. And give it everything you've got, George.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, my darling, you're home. Home at last. After all these months of waiting, hoping, praying, tell me, darling, quickly, are you all right? Are you all right?
Yes.
Oh, you've been shot. Yes, I can see it. You're wounded. Oh, my poor dearest. Where did they get you? Where? Where?
Here.
It doesn't matter. I'll nurse you back to health. You'll be well and sound again, my love. You shall have every care. I'll never leave your side for a minute. You'll never be alone again. Never, never.
Gee.
Seeing you again, it's so wonderful. Oh, darling, I'm afraid I'm going to cry. No, I mustn't cry. Laugh. That's what I should do. Laugh. See, George, you're dynamite.
That settles it. I'm going to call the producer right now and tell him to forget it.
Oh, but George.
Oh, I'm not for that.
Come in.
Well, there you are, you little double-crossing picture stealer.
Bill, I
Why,
don't...
if you try to be Grable's leading man, they'll laugh you off the screen.
What do you mean? Wait till they see that physique and hear that voice. Why, George is a combination of Johnny Weissmuller and Frank Sinatra.
Well, you're right. He sings like Weissmuller and he's built like Sinatra.
Bill, I don't want
to think that you beat me out of a picture. You know, this ruins my career. I might as well throw myself in the ocean.
Oh, Bill, you wouldn't do that.
Yes, I will. And tomorrow they'll find me washed up on the beach. Me and a dead mackerel side by side. The only two things in the world that have less sex appeal than George Burns.
Bill, I've been trying to tell you, you can have the part. I'm going to call Sherwood and resign.
What?
Sure, you're the man for the part. You're so talented, so handsome, so charming. What am I?
You're so right.
Grable deserves me.
And let's face it, who can love Bill Goodwin better than Betty Grable?
Bill Goodwin.
See you later.
Hand me the phone, Gracie. I'll call Sherwood and resign.
Oh, George, wait until tomorrow. I have the strangest feeling you'll change your mind. So that's why I called you, Meredith. We've got to convince George that the public demands him.
Well, how can I help?
Well, by getting all the men in your orchestra to write George fan letters.
Well, I don't know about all of them.
Well, just ask those who know how to write.
Okay. That is, if a letter from my bass player will do any good.
Well, you write some, too. And all my girlfriends and I will write some.
Good.
And then I'll hire a couple of hundred bobby sockers to wait outside tomorrow and tear George's clothes off.
Oh, that'll sure make him a romantic figure.
Well, it will if I hide his long underwear tonight. Now, let's get busy, Meredith.
Good morning, Mrs. Burns.
Oh, hello, Mr. Postman.
I have a tremendous amount of mail for your husband this morning.
Oh, I know. I know. I wrote most of it. I hope it wasn't too heavy for you to carry.
Oh, no. My muscles laugh at heavy weights. They call me the W.C. Fields of the post office.
They do?
Yes. I can carry such a tremendous load. But why should you write to your husband? Aren't you two on speaking terms?
Oh, yes, but I'm trying to make George a big picture star, and I want him to think these letters are from fan clubs. Say, maybe your wife could organize one.
My wife?
Well, yes, she's quite a club woman, isn't she?
No, she uses her bare hands. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
These letters.
What are they?
Oh, they're fan letters, darling. Letters from adoring women all clamoring to see you on the screen.
Oh, go on.
Well, now here, look, I'll read one. Well, listen to this. My dearest darling dream boy, when I heard that you were coming to the screen, I kicked my husband out of the house, and now I keep your picture beneath my pillow.
Well, maybe she just wanted to get rid of her husband.
It's signed Mrs. Walter Pigeon.
Well, I'll be darned.
Oh, now look, here's another one. Dear Super Wolf.
Super Wolf?
Yes. You're our joy boy. You great big gorgeous hunk of oomph. And from now on, we will see only your pictures. Signed, George Burns Fan Club, formerly Van Johnson Fan Club.
Holy smoke. No one could be this big a success overnight.
Well, you're not an overnight success. You forget that for years, millions of people have listened to you on the radio.
That's right.
Are eagles hatched overnight? No. First, eggs must be laid. George, today you're hatching the eggs you laid on the radio.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Gracie. I'll go over to the studio and talk this thing over with Shirley.
Oh, good. Here's your coat. Now, be careful and don't let the bobby sockers mob you.
Oh, don't be silly. If this were 20 years ago, maybe. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Holy smoke. They're here. Hundreds of them.
Uh-huh. What did I tell you?
But I can't understand it. If this were 10 years ago, maybe. I'll look again. Gee, if this were a couple of years ago, maybe.
You better go out there before they tear the house down.
Okay. What the heck? Maybe they like men in their late 20s. Okay, girls, come and get them.
This is Dick Joy from the NBC newsroom again, ladies and gentlemen. Police riot squads were rushed to the home of George Burns a few moments ago when hundreds of berserk bobby sockers fought each other for a glimpse of their latest idol. Questioned as to the secret of his amazing new power over women, Burns refused to comment. But federal authorities are investigating the possibility that he's been able to harness atomic energy in vitamin form. Skeptics are now getting on the bandwagon, says Luella Parsons.
More power to you, George Burns.
Says Georgie Jessel.
Producer Sherwood said he's going to play up George Burns' talent in this picture. Well, that's different. Why didn't he say he was going to use Gracie?
Her curiosity aroused by this wave of popularity, Betty Grable asked to have another look at Burns. Said Miss Grable.
Meredith, our scheme worked. George has been rehearsing with Betty Grable all afternoon.
Certainly sounds like he's arrived.
Oh, yes. But there's one thing that worries me.
What?
After a love scene with George Burns, will Grable be content to go home to Harry James?
That's a point.
George is probably the only man living who can outkiss a trumpet player.
Those trumpet players are sure something, all right. One of them tried to kiss me once.
You, Meredith?
Yeah. She
She was with Phil Spiltowney. I say she was with Phil Spiltowney. Now, let me see. Her
name... George!
No, I think her name was Agnes.
No, I see George coming up the walk. Oh, I can't wait to take him in my arms. My big, handsome movie star.
I'll just slip out the back way.
Darling, here's a kiss.
Please, dear. You'll smear my makeup.
But, George, I'm so happy to see you.
Must we have a display of emotions? I've just come from the set and really I'm all kissed out.
Oh, sit down and rest, George. I'll have dinner ready in a jiffy.
Sorry, dear. I'm dining with Lana Turner.
Oh, well, will I see you after dinner?
No, the publicity department has arranged a full evening. I'm attending a concert with Deanna Durbin. Dancing at the Truck with Rita Hayworth. A cigarette at Ciro's with Lauren Bacall. Then a little smorgasbord with Ingrid Bergman.
Won't I see you at all?
Well, if you care to peek in at the Brown Derby around midnight, you may watch me stir my coffee.
Oh, will you stir it? I thought you'd have Esther Williams swim around it.
Please, dear, don't be de trop. Entree.
Well, George, did you go to the studio and resign?
Resign? Me? And let the whole motion picture industry crash?
What's with him?
Oh, I'm afraid he's gone Hollywood on us, Bill.
What is it you wish, lad? My autograph?
Autograph? George, it's me, Bill.
Oh, George, stop being ridiculous. We're your friends. You don't have to high-hat us.
Well, if I'm not appreciated around here, you may send my bags to the Beverly Wilshire Hotel.
If we do that, what'll hold up your eyes?
Oh, you bit player.
Oh, Bill. Bill, what am I going to do? I've lost him. My home is collapsing. Oh, Bill, you've got to bring him back to his senses.
Well, I'm sorry. He's beyond my help, Gracie. From now on, George won't listen to anyone who isn't a big shot in pictures.
Yeah. Say, that's an idea. I know just the man. Georgie Jessel. He's not only a big picture producer, but he's an old friend of George's. He wouldn't want to see us break up. He's been a family man himself. So often.
Well, Gracie, you better hurry over to 20th Century Fox and see him.
Oh, hello, dear.
Good evening, Grace.
George, look who I brought home with me.
Yeah. Hiya, George, old kid. Gosh, it's great seeing you again, palsy.
Have we met before?
Not met before. This is Jessel, Georgie Jessel. We grew up together in New York.
New York? Oh, yes. A settlement on the East Coast.
Yes, a small village with a few cows and 7 million people. You know darn well who I am.
Wait now. I do have a vague recollection. Weren't you connected with the theater? An usher, perhaps?
Now, look, George, we worked in vaudeville together.
Indeed. And to think that I, a great star of the cinema, was once a mere vaudevillian.
And believe me, there was nobody mirror. Gracie, will you tell him who I am?
Oh, darling, you must remember Georgie Jessel, one of the greatest vaudeville stars of all time. How could you forget the man who used to get down on one knee and sing Mammy?
Jolson, Gracie, Al Jolson.
Oh, that's right. Well, darling, you must remember Georgie Jessel, one of the greatest vaudeville stars of all time. How can you forget the man who used to pop his eyes out and sing If You Knew Susie?
That was Cantor, Eddie Cantor.
Oh, well, darling, you must remember Georgie Jessel, one of the greatest vaudeville stars of all time. How could you forget the man who... Say, Georgie, what did you do?
I was a big, fat, blonde woman, and I sang Some of These Days.
Well, this has all been very interesting, Mr. Hessel.
Hessel? Jessel, J. J, as in what? You're the biggest one I've ever seen.
J.
genius is spelled with a G, Mr. Pestle.
Oh, go away from me, Pestle.
Well, I should be off to the studio. I'll go inside and put on my spats and green beret. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta. He certainly has blown his top, hasn't he?
Yeah, isn't it awful pretending not to remember anything about vaudeville? Huh. Well, that's the biggest thing in his whole life.
Well, of course it was. Ta-ta. Wait a minute. Say, that gives me an idea, Gracie. Once a vaudeville trooper, always a vaudeville trooper. Now, you just take your cue from me.
Yeah, but what are you going...
And, Gracie, as I was telling you, we'll be the biggest thing that vaudeville ever had. Here's the billing. Jessel and Allen. That's what we'll call the act. Now, we open in one, you see? Right away, you come out to hit you with a baby spot.
Jessel and Allen? What's this?
Oh, you wouldn't be interested. Ta-ta, go to the studio. Now, look. As I was saying, Gracie, to hit you with a baby spot. Now, the orchestra goes
into... Wait a minute. Are you planning a vaudeville act?
That's right, yes.
Well, you see, you'll be busy at the studio, dear, and I have to have something to occupy my time.
Yeah, but I had
Come on, Gracie. Now, look, I'll sit down at the piano. We'll try out the opening.
Okay, I'm ready.
One bright and guiding light that taught me wrong from right I found in my mother's eyes. Say, Gracie, speaking of mothers, a funny thing happened to my mother in Cleveland.
Oh, really? I thought you were born in Buffalo.
Look, I got a better joke in that spot. Much better joke.
No, wait, Ta-ta. What do you picture actors know about vaudeville? You take it, Gracie. Go ahead.
Those baby tales she told.
Atta girl.
That road all paved with gold I found in my mother's eyes.
You're gonna open with that thing?
Yeah, why not?
Well, you ought to open with something peppy like Bum, 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 down in the garden where the red road goes.
Oh, go away, please.
Bum, 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 oh, the
Hey, fire. Ta-ta, get out of here, will you please? You are annoying the artist, okay? Just like a wandering sparrow, one lonely soul.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa. Go make a movie.
Well, gee, I just thought I'd help.
I'd walk the straight and narrow to reach my goal. Come on, Gracie, let's take the finish together. God's gifts sent from above, a real unselfish love. I found in my mother's arms.
Oh, that'll be great. Sure. I'll tell you what we'll do for an encore. Look, for an encore.
Hello? Yeah, oh, just a minute. George, it's Betty Grable.
Oh, hello, Betty. Look, kid, don't bother me now with that picture. I haven't got time. Yeah, but Betty, you can get somebody almost as good. Get Flynn or Bogart. Goodbye. Now, look, I've got a great recitation for the encore. You two hum and I'll show you how it goes. When a man does a wrong, he goes right along and the world soon forgives and forgets. Let a girl do the same and her head's bowed in shame and her life is a life of a death.
Radio Service.
Burns and Allen on Tuned to Yesterday, a November 8, 1945 broadcast, first heard on NBC. I'm Mark LeVanier, and this is the hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Coming up next, it's Duffy's Tavern with Finnegan Getting Insurance. That's the title of the show from September 22, 1944, featuring Gene Tierney, who at the time was starring in the Oscar-winning motion picture Lura, directed by Otto Preminger and co-starring Clifton Webb, Dana Andrews, and Vincent Price. It's Duffy's Tavern.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern, where the elite meet the eat. Archie the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Tonight, Gene Tierney. Oh, gorgeous. Got a face that could launch 1,000 ships, Duffy. Yep, and a pair of legs that'll bring him right back home again. Gene Tierney, you've seen her in the movies, Duffy. She's the one your wife once looked like long ago. From far away. Yeah. Of course, the way your wife is built now, you could make 2 Jean Tierneys out of her and still have enough left over for 3 Sophie Tuckers and a Charles Ward. Huh? Why is she coming down here? Maybe because a certain party here is not repugnant to her. You know the old saying, Duffy, the lodestone is always drawn to the maggot. Look, Duffy, the music is just starting. I'll call you back, huh? There's a movie star coming down here tonight, and,
What movie star?
As far as I'm concerned, the only movie star, Eddie. The only one that I can truthfully say we was made for each other.
Laughing?
Eddie, you know who I mean. Jean Tierney. Lovely, beauteous, vivacious, cadaverous Jean Tierney. Ah, she's lovely, Eddie.
I can just hear him now.
Who?
Mr. and Mrs. Lovebug. Mr. Lovebug say, "Honey, what are we having for dinner tonight?" And Mrs. Lovebug, she say, "Archie." And he say, "What, again?" Now, Mr. Archie, this Jean Tierney is a big movie star and society girl.
All right, rub it in. I ain't society.
And you ain't no movie star.
And I ain't handsome.
And you ain't got no dough.
And I ain't got a lot of clothes.
You realize this can go on indefinitely.
Eddie, you forget that dames like Jean Tierney is fed up with them glamour guys. What they go for is simplicity.
Well, you're simple enough.
So what? So I ain't got no dough, but I'm gonna be honest with her. I'll say to her, "Jean, here we are. You, a star. I, but a simple, rugged man of the people. I'm poor, yes. But not so poor that I'd be too proud to have you support me."
You know what could happen if you said that?
What?
You could be swung on by a star.
Eddie, don't argue. My mind is made up.
Yeah, okay. If you'd rather be a mule.
Look, Eddie, a little more respect, please.
We have to go back to that again?
Well, I suppose I can't force you to respect me. Either you do or you don't.
What do you mean?
Either you do respect me or you don't work here. Honest, sometimes I get...
Oh, Arch.
Hello, Finnegan.
Say, Arch, could you lend me the loan at $5?
Lend me the loan? What grammar? Finnegan, loan me the lend of $5. Besides, what do you need $5 for?
To take out an insurance policy. The agent is here.
Finnegan, you taking out insurance?
Well, that's the way the agent says. No man with my intelligence should be without protection.
Yeah, I agree with him. What kind of insurance are you taking out?
Accident.
Accident, huh?
It's a swell policy, Arch. Only $5 a year. You can walk in front of a truck without getting hit.
An accident policy means if you get in an accident, the company has to pay you.
They do?
Yeah.
The what, suckers? Hey, Arch, don't tell the agent about it. He might refuse to sell me the policy.
Oh,
Finnegan, I haven't got much more time.
Oh, Mr. Hancock. Arch, this is the agent I was telling you about. Archie, meet Sam Hancock.
Oh, how do you do? What company are you with, Mr. Hancock?
The Mutual, General Fire and Theft, Liability and Mutual, Fidelity and Mutual, Accident Company, Incorporated.
Well, it's a pleasure to know you.
It's Mutual.
Thank you. Well, you see, Mr. Finnegan here is a friend of mine. I would like to know a little more about this policy.
Well, it's our newest type of accident policy. Complete all-over coverage and sub-coverage. Reimbursement rider, premium waiver, with convertible features.
Well, so far it sounds very dapt.
Hey, Arch, what's that convertible thing?
That's in case you get hit by a car with the top down.
I can see you're a man who really understands a lot about insurance.
Oh, no more than any other up-to-date intelligent guy. Now, tell me, this policy, is it an endowager policy or pari mutual? In other words, what happens if Finnegan is incapacitated by a fatal accident?
Well, if the fatality is caused by the insured getting struck by hailstones or meteors while he is walking in an incorporated village or township, my company assumes all costs of interment and funeral up to 10% of the cash surrender value of the policy. Provided, of course, that the insured can prove that death was unavoidable.
Well, that seems fair enough.
Yes, and another thing. We pay instantly. The motto of our company is, when rigor mortis sets in, so do we. Now, what about the money, Mr. Finnegan?
Oh, yeah, Archie. How about the $5?
The $5? Well, I don't know.
I have an idea. Until the $5 is repaid, why doesn't your friend Finnegan make you the beneficiary?
Yeah.
What's that, Archie?
Well, if I lend you the money and I'm your beneficiary, it means, you know, that if you break a couple of legs or get mangled under a subway train, I don't get hurt. Okay, I'll give you the $5.
Good. Now, Mr. Finnegan, if you'll just step over here, we'll fill out the paper.
Okay.
Hello, Archie.
Hello,
Miss Tubby. What's going on here?
Well, Finnegan's taking out insurance.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's just what Pop and my mama was fighting about this morning.
They was fighting. Another fight, huh?
Uh-huh.
Your old lady swinging that baseball bat again?
Oh, no, it wasn't a serious fight. Just their fist.
What was the fight about?
Insurance. Mama feels Papa should take out more life insurance.
Why?
Well, Archie, even though she can't bear to think of it, she knows that Papa isn't getting any younger. And, well, if anything happened to Papa, well, she'd be too old to go to work and... what could she do?
Oh, Miss Duffy, nothing's gonna happen to your father.
Well, Mama's more foresighted than you are. She knows the way she's been beating him lately. Believe me, the man I marry will carry plenty of insurance.
Well, do you think that the guy that marries you would be able to get insurance?
Why not?
Well, do you think he could pass the eye test?
That could be an insult.
If it ain't, I'll apologize.
Well, that's better.
Touché. leave us not argue. Anyhow, I'm in too good a mood tonight. You know, Gene Tinney is coming down.
Oh, running after movie stars again, huh?
So what? You're always running after guys.
But you're such a snob, you only run after movie stars. At least I'm democratic. I'll run after anybody.
Look, Miss Duffy, I think who I run after is my own penegative.
Daddy Malick and his orchestra play the new dance hit, Dance for the Dolly.
Did Gene Tunney get here yet? I mean, Gene Tinney.
Calm down, Mr. Archie. Calm down.
Honest, I'm as nervous as a newborn bride.
Hey, wait a minute, Eddie. Here she comes now. Look at her, Eddie. Ain't she the most redundant thing you have ever seen? Well, good evening, Miss Tierney.
So this is Duffy's Tavern, huh?
Jean, it was Duffy's Tavern. But with you here, it has become the Bower of Beauty. The Temple of Punkritude.
Thank you. Are you Archie?
I was Archie. But now I am Romeo. Young Lockenbox. Casserole. So you're Jean Tierney, hmm?
Well, I was Jean Tierney.
And what are you now?
Sick to my stomach.
What do you mean?
Bower of Beauty, Romeo, Archie. Girls don't fall for a corny line like that.
They don't, huh? Miss Tierney, you see this little red book here?
Yes.
See this list of names in it?
Yes.
Miss Tierney, this is not a milk route. However, if you don't like that line, you don't like it. We'll take a breather for a minute and try something else. By the way, would you care to partake of some refreshment?
Okay, I'll take a Coke.
A Coke? Oh, no, you don't. Eddie.
Yes?
A bottle of our very best champagne from the cellar, that Pipsic 44.
Sorry, we're all out of champagne.
What? Who drank it up?
I don't know. All I know is the last time I was down in the cellar, I saw three blind mice.
Eddie, please, leave us desist the wisecracks. Miss Tierney is thirsty. How about a bottle of that fine old Napoleon brandy?
Napoleon brandy? We got that?
That brown bottle on the top shelf.
Does that crazy brandy think it's Napoleon again?
Look, Eddie, please.
Archie, never mind. I'll just take a glass of good old-fashioned aqua pura.
Aqua pura, huh? We got any of that left, Eddie?
Yeah, certainly.
Uh-huh.
There you are, Miss Tierney.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Eddie.
Well, what?
Miss Tierney ordered aqua pura. You're just gonna leave her here with the chaser?
Miss Archie, aqua pura is water.
Oh. Oh, I guess I was thinking of aqua caliente.
You're getting in the hollow water by the minute.
Hey, Archie.
Oh, Miss Duffy. Jean, shake hands with Miss Duffy, the fruit of Duffy's marriage.
How do you do?
Likewise, I'm sure. You know, Miss Tierney, a lot of people have told me that you and I look alike, but now I can see there's a difference. Our hair is different colors.
Miss Duffy. Your hair is different colors. Hers is natural.
Archie, you keep your stupid nose out of this. You, oh, men. Miss Tierney, wouldn't it be wonderful to do without men forever?
Honey, are you nuts?
We could get along without them. Men is only a habit, just like smoking.
Do you smoke?
No, I can't get cigarettes either.
Hello? Oh, just a minute. Miss Duffy, your girlfriend, Vera Fogarty.
Oh. Hello, Vera. Said, you know who's here? Jean Tierney. Mm-hmm. Standing right next to me. Huh? Well, pretty attractive, but I've seen B-E-T-T-E-R. What? Well, I'll tell you the rest of the date when I see you. Huh? Oh, yeah, I'd like to go to the movies. Say, what's playing at the Bijou? Double Indemnity? Oh, I don't feel like two pictures. What? Oh, well, okay, dear. I'll be there in a few minutes. Goodbye, dear. Well, Miss Tierney, I have to run along now.
Have fun, Miss Duffy.
Oh, I'm just going out with a girl. Who could have fun going out with a girl?
I could. Good night, Miss Duffy.
Good night.
Well, Jean, now that we're alone again, how about you and me taking a stroll in the park, huh?
Oh, Archie, don't be ridiculous.
Cherie. Why don't you give up this pretense of frigidity? Please. You know that you're in love with me.
I certainly am not.
A likely story. But I think I know what's bothering you. You think that I'm in love with Jean Tierney, the beautiful, wealthy, famous movie star. You're wrong. I'm in love with Jean Tierney, the girl. The beautiful, wealthy, famous girl.
Archie, do you ever hear ringing in your ears?
Yes, darling, and it's wedding bells.
Wedding bells? Can you afford to get married?
Why not? How much would it cost? $2 for a license, $10 for the minister, $3 for a wedding breakfast. I make that kind of dough in a week. So, what do you say? Shall we take a little stroll in the park?
I'll tell you what, Archie. If you want to take me out, I have an idea.
Name it, Jeannie. Just name it. I the potter, you the clay.
Okay, instead of the park, we'll go to the stork club.
The stork club? There are storks in the park, you know.
Archie, it's the stork club or nothing.
I'll be with you in a minute, Jean. It's up to you to help me out now. I gotta get the dough to take this tanny dame to the store club or I'm dead. Absolutely dead.
You're dead, huh? How much you need?
$50.
How you want it?
What do you mean?
Large or small funeral.
Stop kidding, Eddie. Where am I gonna get $50? I got.
How about trying Miss Duffett?
I can't. She went to the movies. She had to see that Double Indemnity. Hey, I just remembered. I'm Finnegan's beneficiary.
So?
Eddie, did you see Double Indemnity?
No.
Very interesting. All about two people who knock off a guy for his insurance. Funny I should just happen to think of a picture called Double Indemnity, huh?
Yeah. Funny I should just happen to think of a book called Finnegan's Wake.
Just a second, Eddie. Are you insinuating that I would homicide Finnegan? I'm just thinking in terms of some little thing, you know, some slight mishap. His arm, maybe, or a small conclusion of the brain. Which on Finnegan wouldn't even show. And the agent is still here. I could collect the dough right away.
To me, it sounds Alcatraz-y.
Look, don't forget the old purvey, Betty. Fair play near one fair lady. Now, let's see. What's a good kind of an accident? I read someplace that 60% of the accidents happen in a bathtub. Wonder if I could get Finnegan to take a bath. No. There must be an easier way. Wait a minute. I got it. Eddie, give me that bong starter.
Mm-hmm. Here you are.
Okay, thanks. Oh, Finnegan.
Oh, by the way, the accident insurance is all fixed up. So is the accident.
Look, Finnegan, would you mind to help me hang that sign over there?
Which one?
That one, the one that says, "Love thy fellow man." You just hold it up there while I nail it in.
Okay.
Attaboy. Now hold your hand still. And hold your head still now. Attaboy.
Hey, Archie, if you keep hitting me on the head, you're never going to get that sign up.
Brother, this is going to be a tough nut to crack. Finnegan, would you mind doing me another favor?
What is it, Archie?
I want you to go down to the cellar for me.
Sure, Archie. Gee, you're nice today, Archie.
What do you mean?
Usually you ignore me, but today you're so attentive.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, Finnegan, now down in the cellar.
Yeah.
Here, you go ahead of me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, be careful you don't fall down the steps, Clifton.
Don't worry about me.
Good heavens. Finnegan has accidentally fell down the stairs.
Don't kid me. I know what you did.
What are you talking? I was just patting me pal on the back.
One does not pat one's pal with both hands and a foot. Hey, Art, what is it you wanted me to get down, hand?
If you didn't already get it, you might as well come back up. Boy, this guy is immortal.
Hey, Art, guess what? I fell down the steps.
You did? How horrible. But how come you can fall down a whole flight of stairs and not get hurt?
Clean living, Art.
This guy is thick-skulled all over his body. wait a minute. Europa, I got it. Finnegan, have you tried the free lunch here lately?
Free lunch? Arch, nobody eats your free lunch here.
But, Finnegan, are you a nobody?
That's right. I'll try it. Okay, this is very tasty, Arch.
Yeah, go ahead, keep eating it. Try that laminated herring.
Oh, boy, Oh.
I think we finally got him, Eddie. Mr. Hancock, Mr. Hancock.
Yes?
Oh. Finnegan here, he's been accidentally food poisoned.
By George, he does look pale.
Well, I'm the beneficiary. I tell you what, I'll settle for $50.
Quick. Okay, but first I'll have to make out a report. Now, where did the food come from?
The free lunch.
Did the insured eat the free lunch here of his own free will and volition?
Yes, sir.
Sorry.
What's the matter?
We do not pay off on attempted suicide. Better luck next time. Good night, sir.
But wait a minute, Mr. Hancock.
Arch, It's getting late. Are we or are we not going to the stork?
Well, you see, I just ran out of a little money. What a rat I am. Look what I done to Finnegan and for nothing.
What's wrong?
Gene, I gotta clean me breast out of this. I ain't worthy to kiss the hem of your shoe. You know what I done? In cold blood, I tried to massacre me best friend. I suppose now you'll never marry me, hmm?
Right.
I thought so. I should never have done it.
Archie, it wasn't what you done. It's on account of what I done 3 years ago.
You too, hmm? What did you do?
I got married. Good night, Archie.
Oh. Oh, boy. It's lucky I found out in time. In addition to a murderer, I would have been a bigamy.
Hey, Arch, you got any more of that free lunch?
Finnegan, I thought the free lunch made you sick.
No, Arch, I liked it.
Well, what was you groaning about?
I was groaning about the swell chance I missed.
What do you mean?
Well, when I fell down them steps, if I would have hurt myself, I bet you we could have collected $50.
Duffy's Tavern, where the elite meet to eat. Archie the Manager speaking. Yeah, Duffy, that's right. Next week, Risa Stevens from the opera. Risa. R-I-S-E. Yeah, like the sun Risa's. Okay.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Duffy's Tavern on Tuned to Yesterday, an episode from September 22nd, 1944 on NBC. That wraps this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVillier. It's been a pleasure.